Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The text for this sermon today is the Gospel reading Luke 11, 1-13. You'll find that on page 55 of the New Testament. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word today, send us your Holy Spirit and through your Son's word, teach us to pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So, how's your prayer life going? Do you pray? Do you pray often? Do you pray regularly? Do you pray as you would like to pray? If you're anything like most Christians, these sorts of questions can make you a bit uncomfortable, perhaps even prick your conscience a bit. Because it seems to be an almost universal experience among Christians that we want to be good at prayer, but we are not. We struggle to pray as we would like to. And if this is you, then you're in good company. Because it seems from our text that the very first disciples were in the same boat. That's where it begins this morning. They see Jesus praying, as they so often did. And they see that his ministry seems to flow from his communion with his Heavenly Father in prayer. They see this, and so it causes them to ask, Lord, teach us to pray. In other words, we need help. And our whole gospel reading is Jesus' response to that question. Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus' answer is quite wonderful, complex and deep. Because what he does is takes us away from thinking about prayer as an obligation, as our performance, as something we need to do for God and check off our list, to seeing prayer as a gift from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's have a bit of a look at Jesus' answer to their question. Teach us to pray. There's so much here. We'll look at three main things today. Just a bit about Jesus giving them the Lord's Prayer, a bit about this midnight visitor, that little story, and then to finish up about the promise of the Holy Spirit. So, the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. What's the very first way in which Jesus responds? He does not give them some rules. He does not tell them they just need to get their act together and do it. No, the very first thing Jesus says is, here, let me give you a gift. He says, here, let me give you a prayer. In fact, let me give you my prayer. That's why we call it the Lord's Prayer. This is wonderful. That the very first way Jesus responds to our need, our struggle in prayer, is to give us a gift, his own prayer. So how is this a gift, though? Let's come at this from two different angles. First, it's a gift simply in the sense that he is giving words to say. Because it's true that often we do struggle to find the words to pray, because learning to pray can be like learning another language. Prayer has been called the language of the heart. Prayer does not always come naturally to us. So just by giving us words to say, Jesus is giving us a gift. Now I think we can understand this by reflecting on life in our human families. So think, for example, of a little 4-year-old boy. He's got some pocket money. He wants to get himself a milkshake. And so off we go to the shop. Now, this little boy, he sees the milkshake machine. He sees the person behind the counter. He's got this shiny stuff in his hand. But really, he's got no idea how all this works together to get this milkshake. We take a lot for granted as adults. So when we see this little boy in this situation, what do we naturally and spontaneously do for him? Do we give him the theory of how this works or the rules? Do we say, well, little Johnny, you're about to enter into a fundamental social and economic transaction here. What you need to do is use the etiquette appropriate to the situation. Make your request direct, clear, but polite. Make sure you use the appropriate words of gratitude and farewell upon completion. That's ridiculous, of course. Johnny would look at us like we're from out of space, or he'd burst into tears. How's he ever going to get this milkshake? What do? We give them the words as a gift. That's how children learn. So we look at the shopkeeper and they give us that knowing smile and we say to Johnny, okay, Johnny, here's how you do it. Excuse me, can I please have a chocolate milkshake? Yes, I would like some extra chocolate sprinkles. Thank you, see you later, and off we go. What is Jesus doing in giving us the Lord's Prayer? He's helping us to learn this new language, a different way of speaking. He's giving us the gift of the words to say. Now, if you don't think that is important, let me ask you to consider this. What human being in the history of the world would ever have thought that the first thing we should pray for is hallowed be thy name? For God's name to be made and kept holy. I would probably never have thought to pray for that at all, let alone first up. And we're not going to go through in detail all the parts of the Lord's Prayer today for the sake of time, but I just point to that as an example of the fact that Jesus is giving us a gift in the very words to say. Now, there's a second sense, though, in which this prayer is a gift. And this is actually far more significant and sort of sits behind what I've just said. And this is all in the very first word of the prayer. When you pray, say, Father. The reason Jesus teaches us prayer as children is because he's inviting us to become children here. Jesus here invites us into a new relationship with God, into a new status as God's child. He's not just saying, learn to pray by pretending God is your father, by acting as if God is your father. He's inviting you into that relationship, giving you the status of an adopted child in the family. The very Son of God, the only one who can truly call God Father, invites you to share in who he is, his identity, to share in his sonship, to step into his shoes, to pray with him, and so to learn to pray. Now, how can he do that? He can only do that because already here he anticipates all that he's come to do. He's come into this world to earn for you a place in God's family by dying and rising for you. And in your baptism he applies that to you and you are adopted as his child. To all who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. And so, right at the start, he gives you this gift of calling on God as Father and the words to get you started. So that's the first part. From there, then, we want to move into the next part of Jesus' teaching, his response to the request to learn to pray. And this is that memorable little story about the visitor at midnight. So basically what happens is the guy doesn't have anything left in the pantry when someone comes to visit, so he goes next door, doesn't he? Now, his situation would be embarrassing enough for us in our culture, but of course we know in the ancient world this is even more important. Hospitality is a bigger deal. There's no 24-hour shops and so on. So he goes to borrow from the friend next door. Now, the friend isn't very helpful at first, is he? Everybody's sleeping. Parents who have had doorbells ring when babies are sleeping can sympathise. But because he persists and he's willing to be audacious and shameless in his requests, then the friend next door provides what he needs. So what's going on here? What's the point? Mostly we see in this story encouragement to be persistent and even bold in prayer and those sorts of things, and that's certainly part of the picture. But for today, there's another little detail here that we can easily miss. I want to draw your attention to. Let me get at it by asking a question. How many people are in this story? Don't worry about the kids for a moment in bed. How many adults? Many people say, I think, two. But actually, there's three, remember. We naturally think about the man with the empty pantry and his friend next door, but we forget about the first friend, the one who comes at midnight. There's three main characters in this story. Now, why is that guy there? In other words, why not tell a story where the guy has a personal need that he goes next door for? What's the significance in him going because of the need of someone else? And how does any of this teach us to pray? Well, here's one way of looking at this. In our Christian life, God constantly brings across our path unexpected visitors. People with problems in life. People with deep needs. People who may look to us for help and we have no resources of our own with which to help. So you speak to a friend who has cancer, to another who is in deep depression, to another who feels he is losing his faith. And what can you do? What resources do you have to help? This story is showing us that even though we have little to nothing in ourselves, that we have the friend next door who can help. That in prayer we can borrow from God for others. And that in this little dynamic, we learn to pray. There's something quite profound going on here, I think. Because you think, if the man in the story had just run out of food for himself, what would he have done? Just wait till morning. Go hungry. Now, sometimes with my own needs in my life, I'm too proud to ask for help. Maybe it's the same for you, even from God. But when it comes to the needs of those I love, I'm more willing to be even shameless in asking for help. And so one way of looking at this story is that God will teach you to pray by bringing people into your lives with impossible demands to drive you to Him, to drive you to the friend next door, to go to your Heavenly Father to borrow for them. But don't go wrong here. The point of the story is not that God is like a grumpy neighbour and you have to twist his arm. In fact, it's the opposite of that. Because Jesus finishes the story and he says, "Now I say to you, ask and you will receive. Search and you'll find, knock and it will be open to you. In other words, if a human neighbour will give you what you need in a situation like this, how much more your Heavenly Father, who never slumbers or sleeps, who is all-loving and patient and kind with you, who has unlimited resources to give, who delights in giving good gifts to His children, how much more can we go boldly to Him asking for all the needs we come across? God teaches us to pray. So we come to the final part for today. This is right at the end where Jesus finishes by the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is a bit of a surprise at the end of this text. Is there any father among you? If your child asks for a fish, we'll give a snake. Ask for an egg, we'll give a scorpion. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no, this doesn't happen, not unless there's something seriously wrong. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give here not better gifts, but give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now what's going on here? What does this have to do with the question to teach us to pray? When I read this in connection with prayer, I cannot help but think of Paul's words in Romans 8, where he speaks about the Holy Spirit as being the one who helps us in our weakness, that we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. So that by pointing us to the gift of the Holy Spirit as the final word on learning to pray today, Jesus is showing us the true depth of our prayer problem. He's showing us that our struggle to pray is not just a matter of knowledge, of our emotional disposition, of just developing good habits, as important as all that is. He's showing us that at the core of it, at the core of our prayer problem, is a spiritual problem. We struggle to pray because left on our own, we are sinful people with hearts turned away from God. We struggle to pray because the devil is active in this world, wanting to stop us praying at all costs. Our prayer problem is a spiritual problem, so it needs a spiritual solution. The Holy Spirit solution. And so Jesus promises to send you His Holy Spirit to teach you to pray, to live within you, to motivate you, to guide you, to prompt you, to warm your cold heart, and even to pray within you. What a wonderful mystery this is. And yet it has a very practical application. Because what this means is that when you struggle to pray, you can simply begin by saying, "Father, please send me your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come, teach me to pray." There's so much talk in our day about the Holy Spirit and receiving the Spirit and how you get the Spirit. Jesus here could not be plainer or simpler. Do you want the Holy Spirit? Ask. Ask the Father. You can ask the Father for the Holy Spirit every single day, and He will continually be given to you. And among the many other things He will do, He will go to work in you to teach you to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus responds by inviting us to share in His identity, to give us the words to say, to send us unexpected visitors, to give us the promise of a loving, gracious Father from whom we can borrow all we need, and to give us His Holy Spirit to empower us in our prayers. Prayer is a gift, because in and through it you are wrapped up in the life and fellowship of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen.